you bitches some slack. Tell a friend to tell a friend. She's back.
It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
You know, people still don't get it when I say that Liv Morgan is actually the John Cena of WWE when it comes to kids and being so well liked and going out of her way to help others. You know, I think people use Bianca Belair because of the push that she gets. But Liv Morgan, to me, the John Cena for the women, the women's version of John Cena of WWE, what a nice person. I don't know her personally, but I will tell you this. You know, once in a while when I was doing giveaways and I would write or email and ask for, you know, a couple of signed photos from NXT, WWE, AEW never responded, but I would always get a batch of Liv Morgan photos. Mandy Rose, when she was in NXT, always getting a bunch of Mandy Rose photos. So Liv Morgan made a return yesterday. She will be back in action shortly. And as we all saw yesterday, you know, to get the feeling that, wow, the NXT women's tag team division is dead for the time being, you know, to get that thought process eliminated as quickly as possible, we had Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez doing a stare down with Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler on Raw. That will be your next feud, mini feud for a little while. What's going on, everybody? It is Saturday, June 24th, 2023. Welcome to this edition of the Don Tony Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, live replay. Appreciate all your support. Keep spreading the word. Let everybody know about the shows, DonTony.com. A couple of quick programming announcements. I put up a poll yesterday morning to ask all of you, how do you want me to handle Sunday's episode of the sit-down? Because AEW Forbidden Door takes place at the very same time as the sit-down. And I said, you all vote, and whatever the majority vote is, that's what I do. And the choices were, do the show on normal schedule live, do the show a couple of hours earlier, around, let's say, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, or don't do a show at all. And I will tell you, with 18% of the vote, that was the lowest, and that was to choose 5 o'clock earlier show. 32% of the vote was for doing no sit-down at all. But half of you said do the sit-down anyway. So tomorrow night, if Forbidden Door isn't your bag, and breaking news, that's okay. You don't have to want to watch Forbidden Door. You don't have to want to watch WWE. You don't have to want to watch AEW. So tomorrow night, 8.05 p.m. Eastern, I will be here for your next edition of the sit-down. Will I watch Forbidden Door? Yeah. Number one, I ain't paying $60 for it. I will watch it on the replay. I will get the overall consensus, how it was. I don't doubt this is going to be an awesome show. You know, if a lot of your favorites are on the card and you want to see them in action, yeah, you'll get your money's worth. If you're a fan of Japanese wrestling, New Japan specifically, yeah, you'll get your money's worth. You know, but when I see a lot of these stars wrestle week in and week out and week in and week out, and there's really, and I'm sorry, I know people hate when I say this and others, but when there's not a real deep storyline build that I'm invested in. Those four words is what people leave out all the time. Because whenever there is a storyline, AEW doesn't have storylines. Of course they have storylines. The thing is, though, is that quite a few of those storylines I'm not invested in. Tom Lawlor, filthy Tom Lawlor, great wrestler. I've seen him many times. Do I care that he jumped Adam Cole on Rampage and now that's the impromptu Forbidden Door match? No, not at all. Some of these matches, the outcomes are beyond predictable. So I decided, yes, I will watch Forbidden Door, but I'm not watching it live, and I certainly am not paying $60 for it. So, you know, I'll check it out, and we'll talk about it next week. Speaking of next week also, this coming Tuesday, Kev Castle and yours truly will be doing a preview and predictions episode for Money in the Bank. It'll stream live on Patreon. So if anybody wants to join us live, it's patreon.com/DonTony. But if you're not a Patreon, do not worry. It'll be on DonTony.com around midnight Tuesday for everybody. And that's going to be an interesting prediction show because quite a few matches we disagree on. That's going to be fun. Now, the interesting thing is, and I didn't even think about this, is next Tuesday, the Tuesday after, is the 4th of July. And we were going to do a recap of Money in the Bank that following Tuesday. Would it be in the 4th of July? I'm going to see if Kevin is around maybe Monday afternoon. And he and I record a show Monday afternoon. And then I'll just schedule it that it'll post live, you know, post online maybe the morning of the 4th of July. Because, you know, you're out with family, you're watching fireworks. You know, I don't know how many people are really going to want to tune in. Even though 10 o'clock at night is, you know, a lot later. We'll see. We'll see. We'll keep everybody abreast to it. So, all right. Today's show, we're going to talk about the latest drama with CM Punk. And as you saw with the thumbnail, observe the meltdown, everyone. And I put observe in parentheses because sooner or later, people are going to really wake up and see the underlining problem within AEW. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We're also going to talk about SmackDown. And, yeah, SmackDown was heavily rewritten yesterday. I'm sick of the politically correct, they did Bayley bad on SmackDown. This shit gets changed up all the time. The thing is, though, is a lot of the changes we never know about, a lot of the changes we never hear about. But when you do hear something, it's immediately interpreted as negative. You know, case in point, yesterday advertised for SmackDown, we had the continuation of the Bloodline, the Civil War. Everybody was going to be on the show with the exception of Roman Reigns. That was going to be yesterday. Also yesterday, as we mentioned earlier, the WWE NXT Women's Tag Team Title Unification Match. Alba Fire and Isla Dawn representing NXT. Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler representing WWE. Those titles would be on the line. We were also going to get Shotzi Blackheart versus Bayley. Bayley putting up, well, Io Sky put up Bayley's Money in the Bank spot. And listen, if you remember last Saturday's episode of the Don Tony Show, I said this was stupid. Remember joking around? Imagine in storyline, Io Sky, you know, Shotzi Blackheart going to Adam Pearce's office and say, Adam, guess what? Bayley put her Money in the Bank ladder match spot on the line. Actually, Io Sky did for Bayley. And Adam Pearce, the match is on. It sounded stupid. It was stupid. And just because WWE, Vince McMahon, Triple H, Kermit the Frog, somebody said yesterday, you know what? Fuck that. It's a stupid match. It's a stupid idea. Bayley is the draw. Nothing against Shotzi, but so that match did not happen. Another match that did not happen was this. Santos Escobar versus Butch versus LA Knight. And what was the selling point, everyone? The winner of the match has momentum. Ooh, momentum going in Money in the Bank. Would this have been a good match? Yeah, of course. All three guys are good. But momentum going into Money in the Bank, okay, it's a SmackDown match. I wouldn't have complained if this was the match. But instead, they did this. They gave us Rey Mysterio versus LA Knight. Remember last week? Rey Mysterio getting involved a little bit? Why not? Makes more sense. And guess the fuck what? LA Knight beat Rey Mysterio. LA Knight beat a Hall of Famer. LA Knight did not get jobbed out. LA Knight won clean. And people still complained because Vince McMahon changed things up. I watched a couple of podcasters. I'm not going to say who they are. Some I like. Some are just, you know, just my opinion. I watched them before any matches, any changes were announced. And before we even got the show, they were already ranting and posting diatribes about Vince fucking things up and this and that. And I'm saying to myself, you know, let's watch SmackDown first. Let's see what the changes are and let's see if they're good. And I thought yesterday's SmackDown was decent. I don't think it would have been any better with the original plans. We'll get to Sheamus in a minute. JD is not one of them, MJ, so I'm just going to throw that out there right now. So, you know, we don't want anybody to try. I'm not saying you're trying to stir shit up, but JD. And listen, if JD says something that I disagree with, I will say it. You know, we disagree on a lot of things, but I have a lot of respect for him. He has a right to his opinion. There's others out there that go on these rants and diatribes and, you know, complete with emojis and colored circles and capitalizations and, you know, and I'm like, you know, shut the fuck up, eat a Snickers, sit back, relax, go make some jambalaya, go make some eggplant parmesan, go buy a slice of pizza, go put some cold water on your face, make a cup of coffee, take a nap, get laid, whack off, listen to music. You know, could you just picture somebody that upset an hour before SmackDown, and instead of just going through your normal business, say, let me see SmackDown, let me see what it's like. Maybe it's not going to be all that bad. It's like, no, damn it. Typing. That'll do it. Yeah, I got him. I fucked Vince in the ass. That's almost as bad as Dave Meltzer reporting. And I'm not criticizing Dave. I am criticizing Dave, but lightheartedly. But Dave Meltzer reported yesterday that a top, this is not an exaggeration, everyone. Listen closely. A top AEW star went home Wednesday in a bad mood. What am I missing here? A top AEW star went home in a bad mood. Tony Khan's got to start getting crayons, start getting coloring books, a bunch of Snickers bars, hot chocolate, and guess what? This is not to stir up controversy, but I think some people need to reevaluate their lower private parts and see if there is a set there. And if they're not, maybe they could consider maybe implanting a set. You know, or maybe you rub a whole bunch of testosterone all over your nuts because a lot of people out there have zero. Imagine. A 30-some-odd-old, 40-some-odd-old wrestler contacting a writer and said, hey, what'd you think about CM Punk? Oh, I got to be honest, I went home in a bad mood. Oh, really? Really? Oh, you know, I feel your pain. What are we doing with fucking kindergartens here? We'll talk about that later. I don't want to get off track. Let's get back to SmackDown. So, yesterday, what we get instead, as I said, LA Knight beating Rey Mysterio, which was a lot of fun. The main event yesterday was Sheamus taking on Solo Sikoa. Now, originally, I thought what that was, kind of the outcome. I thought it went to no contest because both wrestlers are outside the ring. Why didn't the referee do the count? Why didn't she just count them both out? But Solo Sikoa puts Sheamus through the barricade. Sheamus is out cold. And I was like, okay, no contest. They're both outside the ring. They counted out. You know, she ended the match abruptly because Sheamus can't continue, but they're both outside the ring. No contest. But I find out that the official results is that Solo Sikoa beat Sheamus due to referee stoppage, which, yeah, that outcome is kind of stupid. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. We may be seeing the next feud for Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa outside of the Usos. You didn't think that Solo Sikoa, Roman Reins, and the Usos were going to feud until WrestleMania, didn't you? Yeah, I know. Where does this leave Butch? Where does this leave Butch? I don't know. I don't know. But what went down yesterday could lead to Sheamus getting a title shot against Roman Reigns for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Yeah, I think we all know you could put Jesus Christ up against Roman Reigns right now, and he ain't beating him either. Roman Reigns is going to take on Cody Rhodes, likely at WrestleMania 40, and Cody will finish the story. If Cody doesn't finish the story, it'll be looked back at as one of the biggest flops in WWE history, no matter how over he is. And by the way, I'm going to say something now that's going to maybe upset some people. I don't agree. I don't agree with the procedure. Let me make that clear. I don't agree with the procedure. Last night, LA Knight was insanely over. Now, let this sink in for a minute. Roman Reigns, okay? Roman Reigns a couple of years before COVID. Because without COVID, I don't know if we get this Roman Reigns. Remember, he had a long time in Thunderdome where he didn't have to hear the crowds going, what? What? Or indifference or booing him or, you know, not happy with it. He dictated and whatever he did, everybody on the video, including me, yay. But check this out. Before COVID, when Roman Reigns, they were trying to get him over as this massive baby face. They put him up against Corbin. They put him up against a whole bunch of people thinking that one of these heels is got to be so disliked from the fans that by default, they have to cheer Roman Reigns. It kind of worked, but still you had a large part of the audience that still was not into Roman Reigns. Very, very difficult. And the weird thing about it, and I know this sounds awful, but a lot of people will agree, Roman Reigns coming back from leukemia made him instant babyface. It's stupid on the surface, but the sympathy, humanizing him, you know, him battling real life threatening situations and training and overcoming and coming back, you have to love that. You have to respect that. Same thing is happening right now to Von Wagner on a much smaller scale. But Roman Reigns after that, you know, the fans accepted him, you know, and then he obviously turned heel and everybody's like, oh, what the fuck, we waste all those years. So anyway, with Rey Mysterio is so beloved that if you're facing Rey Mysterio, and you are getting cheered 10 times over, that says something. That's not just fans trying to stick it to WWE Creative, like, you want to keep shitting on LA Knight? Well, we're going to scream louder. We're not really into him like this, but we're just going to do it. Just like, yeah, I'll say it. I'm a gigantic supporter of Vince Russo for decades, but I disagreed with him on this. That the fans aren't really that much against Dominic Mysterio. He doesn't have the nuclear heat. It's just that the fans realize that everybody, whenever he talks, it's your cue to boo the shit out of him. And it's called trolling. if you know that in character, Dominic Mysterio is going to be interrupted and he can't talk, and, you know, then you do it louder. You do it on cue. That's called trolling. But the fact that LA Knight got cheered that heavily yesterday, again, I don't agree with the procedure, but I'm going to just say it. You have to realize that WWE Creative right now thinks that they are doing everything right with LA Knight. How could I listen again? I don't agree with the procedure, but the more WWE holds him back, remember that conversation we had about 2 months ago? The more you hold something back, the more you want it. Remember the dog? Remember the biscuit analogy? You have a plain biscuit. Plain biscuit. Tastes like nothing. You put it in front of the dog's face. The dog's like, ooh, biscuit. Goes to eat it. And when he goes to eat it, you pull it away. And the dog's like, And then you take the biscuit, you put, I'm only kidding. Here. And then dog goes to eat again, and you pull it away. Now the dog's starting to be like, hey, stop being a dick. And you do that a bunch of times. After a while, one or two things are going to happen. The dog's going to be like, you know what, fuck you, and the dog walks away. Or the dog wants that biscuit so much that that dog would have committed assault on that biscuit. Funny thing is, as soon as he eats the biscuit, he's like, this is awful. What the fuck did I want this so much for? Obviously, LA Knight is not a plain biscuit. But the more WWE keeps doing this, holding him back, or the perception of holding him back, the louder the audience gets, the more vocal the audience gets, the more they cheer LA Knight. And in WWE's eyes, hey, what we're doing is working. How could you argue with that? I'm not agreeing how the formula, I mean, little aspects of it I do, but you can't deny that. You can't deny that. Trust me, they think they're doing something right. So that's what was changed yesterday. And on the surface, I didn't think it was all that bad. The problem is some of the execution was very lackluster. If we're going to be honest for a minute, the Usos opened up the show yesterday. And, you know, in the beginning, you know, they're teasing the fans. They the bloodline. You know how they used to say the bloodline is in your city? Jimmy Uso says the bloodline, but then he stops and realizes, you know, intentionally, that it's not the bloodline in their city, it's the Usos. And I think, you know, that good feeling, hey, you feel good? Yeah, I feel good. This and that, blah, blah. They were kind of stumbling. If you want to be honest, they were stumbling. It felt like they couldn't figure out what words to say. Eventually, they put it together. But first, you had Jimmy on the mic, Jay on the mic saying a few things. You had Jimmy on the mic saying a few things. What I liked about the promo is they said something that the fans didn't like, but it's a fact. They talked about how they still love Roman Reigns. They love him. And they can forgive Roman Reigns. But where Roman Reigns went wrong was that he started to disrespect him. And one of the most important things about their family is respect. And he also talks about all the outside sources pulling wedges between the members of the bloodline. Now, the interesting thing about it was, if you go back and you listen to the fan reaction while this is being said about, you know, how that they were dominating, the bloodline had the whole WWE roster on lockdown and this and that. And when Jey Uso was talking about outside sources, trying to stick a wedge, that crowd didn't know how to react. Because I guarantee you a boatload of that crowd thought that they were talking about Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. But then they brought up Paul Heyman. They focused only on Paul Heyman. And then the crowd relaxed, like, oh, okay, they're not going to go there. So they both are starting to get a little bit of a groove as far as on the mic. They talk about how they're going to go to London for the Bloodline Civil War for Money in the Bank. And, you know, they don't want to fight family, but it has to be done. And Roman is disrespecting family. Interesting thing that was kind of missing in their promo yesterday is not addressing their brother. They're not addressing Solo Sikoa. Very, very little was said towards Solo Sikoa. It was focused pretty much only on Roman Reigns. Now, in storyline, you would think that they would repeatedly say that, you know, our brother is misguided, and what we realize now, he will soon realize. I guess WWE doesn't want to plant that seed right now, but if you remember what I've been saying for about 6 months, no, they don't listen to the show. I doubt it. But I said that in the end, Roman Reigns is going to be all by himself on the island of relevancy, especially when we get to WrestleMania 40. And they actually said that yesterday, that Roman Reigns is going to end up being on the island of relevancy all by himself. So they set up Money in the Bank. But that's not their last appearance on the show yesterday. They welcome everyone to the Uso Penitentiary. We go to the matches. And as I said earlier, LA Knight defeated Rey Mysterio, hitting him with the BFT. After the match, LA Knight, still healing it up, tried to pull off Rey Mysterio's mask, saved by Santos Escobar. We could possibly see that three-way that I was showing you earlier with Butch, Escobar, and LA. That could happen next week. But Santos Escobar makes the save, and we have one more SmackDown prior to Money in the Bank. I got to tell you, man, Ridge Holland yesterday sold this like $1 million. You know, there's a lot of people that are still upset at Ridge Holland for what happened to Big E, and it's awful. And, you know, I'm very happy that, you know, I don't want to criticize anybody that feels that way, but I'm happy that the locker room has pretty much accepted Ridge Holland. You know, accidents happen. You know, it's just unfortunate. And he's finding his groove. You know, when the Brawling Brutes were feuding with Imperium, you listen to that crowd. You know, I say this in sympathy for Ridge Holland. You know, of course, Big E, we have nothing but sympathy for as well, and prayers. But imagine how Ridge Holland must have felt when you get that kind of positive reaction from the fans. I mean, you know, in the back of your mind, you must have overwhelming guilt, you know, that what happened with Big E. And trust me, no one in that locker room, on camera, off camera, through journalists, no one ever gave that impression that Ridge Holland's attitude was, accidents happen, wasn't my fault. If that would have been put out there, and that's scary, because if you take note, you know, something you got to think about, take note that it seems like none of these journalists online have connections with wrestlers in WWE who are willing to feed them dirt. Let me make this clear. I'm not saying that some journalists and podcasters don't have friends in WWE. They do. I have a couple of friends, but, you know, not on that large scale. A lot of people do. The difference is you don't see anybody in WWE feeding dirt to journalists or podcasters. The only complaint you usually hear is creative. But imagine if some people within WWE felt that Ridge Holland had no guilt or had no remorse or no sympathy or no feelings about what happened with Big E and just wrote it off like, hey, accidents happened, it wasn't my fault. If that would have been fed to the dirt sheets, fed online, Ridge Holland's wrestling career would have been almost over. I don't think you could repair from it. If you have that lackadaisical attitude, like, hey, it wasn't my fault. Shit happens, you know? Wasn't my fault. But there's no inkling, no sign whatsoever. Yesterday, we had a backstage segment with Solo Sikoa and Ridge Holland. And this was awesome. Because Ridge Holland bumps into Solo Sikoa. They have a little stand down. And Ridge Holland's basically like, you know, like, what are you looking at? You know, like one of those. So Solo Sikoa hits him with the Samoan spike. And Ridge Holland sold that Samoan spike like you would have thought you killed him. I mean, gagging, not being able to breathe, choking. And then Solo Sikoa just walks off and he's like, I'm not in the mood tonight. I'm not in the mood tonight. And then what happens, Paul Heyman, he goes on his phone, call Roman Reigns. Which is kind of funny because you never hear the phone go back going, calling Roman Reigns. But he says he's calling Roman Reigns. So a little bit later, why are we getting these small little boxes? Yeah, we get a little bit later, Sheamus, who is tending to Ridge Holland along with Adam Pearce. Sheamus demands he wants a match tonight against Solo Sikoa to pay back what he did to Ridge Holland. The funny thing about it is, during this 5 minutes of gagging, there's no trainers around. There's no EMTs. There's no oxygen. There's nothing to... It's Adam Pearce. Are you okay? Do you have a problem with your neck? How do you feel now that your neck hurts? You know, little things like that kind of like get to me. But, you know, Ridge Holland sold it perfect yesterday. Did a great job with that. So, we end up, the match is going to happen later on, Sheamus versus Solo Sikoa. Next, we had, you know, it's funny how they labeled them yesterday. The two black belt badasses versus a mouthing warrior and a nightmare dressed as a daydream. I know that sounds cool and catchy, but I did kind of laugh at Wade Barrett talking about Isla Dawn. Because you all know what Isla Dawn looks like. I mean, when you look at her outfit, you look at her vignettes, you look at her persona. Wait, listen closely. Wade Barrett said that Isla Dawn is a nightmare dressed as a daydream. That's what a daydream looks like. Shouldn't it be the opposite? She's supposed to be a total nightmare. But they're playing up on the word innuendos yesterday, but yeah, we knew it was going to happen. We knew exactly what was going to happen. Ronda Rousey puts the ankle lock on Alba Fire. Shayna Baszler with the Kira Fuda clutch on Isla Dawn in sync at the same time. They both tap out. They are your new unified WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. And the wording is very deliberate because that is what they're going to do. In fact, I expect new championship belts to be issued as well. It's probably going to say unified WWE... Undisputed, unified, you know, it's words that sound like it means more than what it actually is. Undisputed, unified, so you'll see. I think they're going to issue brand new championships. But before they could celebrate all that long, as this match was going on, Raquel Rodriguez is sitting at ringside, not saying nothing, just watching the match. Doesn't get involved, just watching the match. After the match is over, Raquel gets up and she leaves and doesn't say a thing. Ronda Rousey gets on the mic. I think she talked a little bit of Spanish. And basically she's like, why are you out here? So Raquel turns around. She walks back to the apron, climbs it. I think she kind of like slipped a little bit with her heels. She gets on the mic and she says, I want a shot for those tag team titles. We want a shot for the belts that we never lost in the first place. Now remember, Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan had to relinquish those belts because of Liv Morgan's injury. So Raquel says, we won. So Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler, you know, didn't take their Prevagen or their Bulletproof MCT oil. A little bit of brain fog. They're like, who's we? Who's we? What are you talking about, we? Who's we? Remember the whole scenario that led to Rousey and Baszler getting the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. So next thing you know, Liv Morgan comes out. And as I showed you earlier, Liv Morgan with a little bit of a stare down with Shayna Baszler. Ronda Rousey, she is great with her mannerisms. She's looking at everybody, and she's got this pissed off look on her face. And they back off, and they're holding their tag teams up. So that is what we have coming in the near future. Loved it. A lot of people felt that Liv Morgan returning was the highlight of SmackDown yesterday. She looks good. She's very well liked. And she has improved so much in the last 2 years. I remember, we're happy for Alexa Bliss. She's going to be a mom. But I remember 2 years ago, we kind of looked at Alexa Bliss and Liv Morgan on the same path. Maybe because they're small in stature size, and they're both blonde, and they had similar physiques, you know, two totally different characters. Even though Liv Morgan started getting, like, infatuated with hardcore wrestling, I have to specify that, and we thought they were pretty much on an even plane. We were like, who's going to take it to the next level next? And I think, with all due respect, we're all Alexa Bliss supporters, most of us here. But, yeah, I think it pretty much ended up like that. So a little bit later in the night, we see Bianca Belair with Adam Pearce, and she ain't happy because Adam Pearce basically tells her that next week when Asuka defends the women's championship against Charlotte Flair, there's too much of a risk that one of them might try to bait you into a physical confrontation. So you are banned from ringside. But I promise you, you will get a shot at the winner. And Bianca said that he told her to trust him last time, and then she got bumped from the line. And Adam Pearce says, please, trust me. Don't worry about it. Go eat a Snickers. No. But so Bianca Belair, will it lead to a Money in the Bank match? No. Asuka's not going to wrestle two nights in a row. Money in the Bank, you got to keep the focus on those women that are being in that match. Rhea Ripley, I mean, I don't see her doing anything in Money in the Bank other than maybe being in a quarter for Cody Rhodes. And could we see a Brandi Rhodes appearance? Possible. Doubtful. Because once you put Brandi Rhodes on TV, you know, then you're going to have that. You open the box. And then you're going to have people, when is she going to be back? Why isn't she on TV this week? When is she going to... Some people are like, oh, God, not everybody's going to be happy with it. You do that more for like a WrestleMania moment. Like when the whole family gets together, that's the WrestleMania moment. So I'm not sure if that's what we're going to get. So another match that was not scheduled yesterday was Charlotte Flair. She came out looking as good as ever. And she defeats Lacey Evans. And the match was quick. It was only a couple of minutes long. Charlotte Flair putting the figure eight on Lacey Evans. Lacey Evans taps out. Again, you know, we had an awesome conversation about Dana Brooke on Wednesday Night Dynamite. I labeled it the Dana Brooke match. When we look back on it years from now, people will start calling it the Dana Brooke match, what happened in NXT Wednesday. And I'm bringing it up now for a reason. Since Wednesday, I've paid attention and looked closely at the feedback, not just from fans, but wrestlers within the wrestling industry. And I mentioned this on Wednesday, and it got no traction. That's because people don't want logic. But I watched Mickey James. I watched Busted Open. I watched other women in wrestling on Twitter towards Dana Brooke. And a lot of people were criticizing the fans in attendance. Dana Brooke doesn't deserve that. This is that, this and that. And yet, Wednesday, I pointed out something that, honestly, I have yet to find one show that has brought it up. I mean, trust me, I appreciate it. I get all your feedback. You know, people pay attention closely, with all due respect. When you have, I'm a big supporter of Brian Last and Jim Cornette, and they've been calling out Dave Meltzer and, you know, his tactics with Brian Alvarez with the Elite, feeding them and the Pigeons, feeding them all this negative CM Punk stuff and other stuff over the last year and a half. But if you notice, they never talk about Wade Keller. See, that's where there's a problem, because when you have friends and some of your friends are doing some of the same shit, you know, you kind of like leave them out. And, you know, I take notice of that right away. I don't see anybody dragging Wade Keller in this stuff, and I've been doing it for a while. And I'm going to say it again here right now. Those NXT fans live Wednesday have no reason to apologize to Dana Brooke. And that's not because I don't like Dana Brooke or anything like that. The reason why the fans acted the way they did, besides the segment being god-awful, is that the fans knew it was 100% storyline. I actually watched Mickie James talking about, and I absolutely love Mickie James. Nothing but respect for her. But I watched her talking about what happened on Wednesday, and that she, you know, she could have blown out her knee legit, and the fans acting like this and that. And I'm saying to myself, I talked to people that were there at NXT, and they all said, we knew it was a work. I hate using that term that way, but we knew it was a work. The referee never called for the bell. The referee never ended the match in a referee stoppage when they put her on the stretcher, when they put the first brace, when they put the second brace, when Dana Brooke's going, ow, 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 ow. They all knew it was bullshit. And Dana Brooke, no mascara dripping down from the pain, the agony. They knew the whole thing was a storyline. That's why they were being brutal back. That's very important to bring up, because that makes the whole thing look a little bit different. When the fans know that it's a storyline and that they don't think that she really blew out a knee, that's not cold-hearted shit. Why am I bringing this up with Charlotte Flair's match from SmackDown? Because if Lacey Evans was the one that was on NXT Wednesday and not Dana Brooke, you would not have had this kind of outrage. They would have been like, good, release her. Get the fuck out. Talk about your autism and stuff on podcasts. Go to fucking XPW. That's what people would have said. And that's why, you know, it's so disingenuous when you think about it. Lacey Evans's character is so damaged right now. And I don't want to see her released, but I don't know how you come back from this. I really don't know. I mean, we just had a conversation like, how do you, you know, bring Karrion Kross and Scarlett to the next level. Lacey Evans, though, you know, WWE fucked it up, I think, too much. And what you see is what you get. Xia Li, it feels the same way. Personally, I think Lacey Evans should go back to NXT. Hell, I think Nikki Cross is the next to go back to NXT. I think Nikki Cross is going to be NXT anonymous. So, but yesterday, I thought this was funny yesterday. When Charlotte Flair had the figure eight on Lacey Evans, Asuka made a run in, and Asuka attacked Charlotte Flair. Now, for those on video, if you look at your screen, it's only a couple of seconds, but it's funny. If you look closely, she nailed her right in the tit. Boom! I could imagine like putting like a cartoon sound effect to that, like boing. If you look at it closely, she legitimately kicked her right in the tit. Look at the left tit. Boom. I mean, how do you avoid that? Look, right in the tit. Boom. And Charlotte's like, my boob. Charlotte's boobs are not ready for Asuka. And Asuka's so animated, too. I mean, she is having fun. And the greatest thing about it is her character, pretty much, you know, speaking much English at all, yet she's on fire with a social media account. You know, she obviously has some help with it, but she's really having a ball right now. And honestly, why would you ruffle that up? See, that's the thing that concerns me about Bianca Belair right now. And I have no criticism towards Bianca Belair. What I don't like is that when Bianca Belair is on top, when, especially her, the minute she loses the championship, you have all of these videos and rants that come up. What is Bianca Belair's future? What, Bianca Belair stuck in the mud. I'm like, she just had a 400-day run. Around that, okay, take a break. Take a breather. Feud with someone else. Give someone else the opportunity. The minute she loses the title, it's like, what are you going to do with Bianca? They're not doing nothing with Bianca. Bianca's stuck in the mud. You see, this is what they do to black people. You see all these dumb excuses. It's called taking a step back, giving someone else an opportunity. You read all of these excuses. You know, I disagree with, and that's the thing that gets me angry too. Bianca lost the title the same time that Jade Cargill lost the title, and people put them side by side. Do you see a pattern here? I'm like, yeah, two women that just had record title runs that it's now time to give the opportunity to someone else, and you know what they're trying to pull. Stop with the political shit. You know, it's time to give it to someone else, and Asuka is having a great time. I wish they would up it a notch for Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley is awesome, but if you look, I mean, Zelina Vega and Natalya, with all due respect, Zelina Vega and Natalya, I mean, people are now going to say, she's had a 100-day run. Rhea Ripley has had she's great as the women's champion. And then you look back and it's like, Zelina Vega and Natalya. You know, it sounds good and it sounds right, but at the end of the day, it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. So, we now get the main event. Let's talk briefly about this. This was awful. I am a huge fan of Grayson Waller. If you follow my Wednesday Night Dynamite, you have to admit that I said that Grayson Waller and Pretty Deadly would both get to the main roster before Bron Breakker and Carmelo Hayes. Especially Pretty Deadly. Though Pretty Deadly absolutely is quintessential WWE characters. They are. And their music is annoying, their characters are annoying, their voices are annoying, the way they dress is annoying. Everything about him is annoying. That's what makes them so good. Grayson Waller, I think yesterday Grayson Waller may have had his best appearance doing a Grayson Waller effect since he's been on the main roster. The AJ Styles one was a dud. The Charlotte Flair was a dud. Yesterday, him on the side of Pretty Deadly was okay. They are taking their time with Grayson Waller. Listen, guys, you know, I'm not I'm not one to compare 2023 wrestling to the 80s. But believe me when I tell you, you know, when you think back to it, when Roddy Piper came to the WWF, there was stretches, especially early on, where it was pretty much Piper's pit. I mean, he feuded with Hogan, he feuded with Snuka, he feuded with a few others. But, you know, we had stretches where it was just Piper's pits for the most part. And yes, you had him wrestling on a house show here and there, but it was pretty much just Piper's pits. I don't like comparing 80s to today. But Grayson Waller, they're trying to develop his personality. They're trying to get his character connected with the fans before the wrestling ability. Because what they don't want is they don't want indifference. If Grayson Waller just goes out there and performs, that's great and everything, but there's a lot of other people on the main roster that perform great as well. So what they're doing is right now their number one priority is trying to get Grayson Waller's personality over with the fans. And I think yesterday might have been the first time that I said, okay, he actually did good this time around, being clear-cut heel, taking aside a Pretty Deadly. Remember the AJ Styles stuff. Even though he ended up saying to AJ Styles to his face, you ain't winning the World Heavyweight Championship, he was praising him a lot. Charlotte Flair, she was praising her a lot, you know, and it felt like it's almost like, you know, yeah, he's having fun and everything, but he didn't really do anything to get Charlotte Flair to like smash. That's what I think that's needed right now. I think Grayson Waller really needs to get a big time baby face on that show. Or a heel, if you want to turn him babyface, and say some really awful stuff and have somebody just knock his ass out. I think if somebody knocks his ass out, I think that'll click with the fans more than anything else, and I think that'll get Grayson Waller on a little bit of momentum. So, Pretty Deadly is on the Grayson Waller effect yesterday. You know what? I wish I could say that Bayley versus Shotzi Blackheart was cut for time yesterday because of this segment, but I know that's not true. They squashed the match because the whole premise of Shotzi possibly getting in Money in the Bank because Io Sky put Bayley's spot on the line was stupid from the beginning. But this just went on and on and on and on. And the very end of it was the best. The first two-thirds of it, it just fell flat. It fell flat. It almost felt like they were in an empty arena. Kit Wilson is putting over London, the greatest city in the world, and they will take their title opportunity pretty deadly seriously. Elton Prince talking about how Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens have huge egos. I'm not trying to impersonate them right now. And that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn may have been surprised that they were number one contenders, but they won. Gold before. They won the NXT tag titles on their first night, that they will dominate the WWE tag team division for the next decade. And then they start running down last week with the gauntlet match. Even though they were in at the very end, they still won the whole gauntlet. So they bring up the LWO. Beat them! They first bring up Sheamus and Ridge Holland. Beat them! Brings up the LWO, La Rata, whatever that means. You know, beat them, and the crowd not really feeling it. The OC, Hit Row, then they bring up the Street Profits, and on cue, the Street Profits music hits. The Street Profits, you know, take on names out of your mouths, blah, 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 leads to a match, and in a matter of minutes, you have Pretty Deadly getting the win over the Street Profits. Basically, Montez Ford, little momentum, tagged Angelo Dawkins in. And then when he tagged him in, Montez Ford went to go to the top rope anyway, and Kit Wilson knocked him to the floor. And when Elton Prince rolled up Angelo Dawkins, he can't really see it due to the low resolution, but Elton Prince, I guess, like had like a piece of material from his outfit. I don't think he wears a bandana, but it almost looked like a belt, or like a belt, something you would tie around your waist. And he wrapped it around Kit Wilson's ankles and pulled down. Basically, he could have just held his feet down for leverage, but decided to do that instead. And the Street Profits lose. I'm baffled with the usage of the Street Profits. I get it. And I'm not agreeing with it, but I'm just going to say it. I think the only reason why the Street Profits are being used this way and losing so many matches, and they win the matches that are pointless feel-good moments, I think the reason why they're doing that is to keep them out of the title picture right now, because Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens have both championship titles. So remember, we have a tag team championship match next week. And then down the line, we're going to have a tag team championship match against Imperium. So, you know, we got two tag teams lined up for title shots right now. And people are starting to think that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are going to be losing some gold soon. The interesting thing about it, which I personally think this is a huge mistake, but I think that if WWE, this is something nobody's talking about, if WWE is seriously considering having one tag team championship across both brands, they might present Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn a new set of tag team championships. I don't know if those tag team championships would look like Seth Rollins or Rhea Ripley's title. I think it would be a little bit too much. You know, we got. I mean, a beautiful looking belt. Seth Rollins and Rhea Ripley's belts look beautiful. But if you look at right now, SmackDown, Roman Reigns' championship, Asuka's championship, you even look at this, and I'm convinced that we may be getting new women's. I'm pretty convinced that Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler are going to be presented with new tag team championship. It's going to be the unified WWE tag team championships. I think they may do the same thing for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, which is interesting because you only get to have one singular champion. And that kind of sucks because some people think that Pretty Deadly could possibly dethrone Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. As of right now, I don't believe that's happening. I mean, it could. When we get to predictions next Tuesday, maybe I change my mind, but I don't see that happening because they're still feuding with Imperium. I think the biggest mistake, and this is deliberate. This is deliberate. I want to show you something. I think the biggest mistake WWE did, but the reason why I think they did it is because they're considering singular unified tag team championships for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Why didn't they just announce SmackDown tag titles are on the line? Why didn't, when they announced the match against Imperium, why not announce the Raw tag team championships on the line? See where I'm going with this? We no longer have a Raw women's champion. We no longer have a SmackDown women's champion. I don't think we are going to have dual tag team championships on the men's side. I think just like the women, and guess what? How does that factor in with NXT? Because they killed the NXT tag team division for the women's, because now whoever it becomes number one contenders have to deal with Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. Let that sink in. Think about the women's tag team division at NXT. Now look at the men's side. We've talked about this for a while. Look at the men's side of the NXT tag team division. Gallus is excellent. But you look at the number one contenders match last week. Hank and Tank, Idris Inofi and Malik Blade, Briggs and Jensen. That is the creme de la creme of your men's tag team division right now. Even Tony D'Angelo. Tony D'Angelo's not in that position yet that he could lead a tag team division, even if they do win down the line. I wonder if Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn may end up taking on Gallus and they unify the men's tag team championships as well. The only thing that's stopping me from saying that that's going to happen is you're not going to use the term unified on both brands. If you pay attention, World Heavyweight Champion, Raw. World Women's Champion, Raw. SmackDown Undisputed WWE Universal Champion. Unified Women's Tag Team Champions. Undisputed Women's Champion. They're moving away from the Raw and SmackDown names. So I think Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, if they're presented with one tag team title, that's it. Because you can't get Pretty Deadly and Imperium tag team champions at the same time. That's why I think WWE did not put the SmackDown tag titles on the line next week. Look how they advertised it. The Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships will be on the line. In fact, you know what? They'll probably keep that name. They'll probably keep that name and come up with one belt. So pay very close attention to that, because I think down the line we are getting new belts for Ronda and Shayna, And they may end up giving Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn brand new championship titles, and it might only be one set. So, the main event last night, Solo Sikoa beats Sheamus. Flat-out brawl. So, again, a lot of people, because, look, the news lately was that Sheamus felt that the Brawling Brutes, that there was more to do. And he feels that WWE hasn't done enough. And some people were complaining, like, oh, this is punishment. Last night was punishment. Ridge Holland, Brawling Brutes, thumb to the throat. Samoan Spike. Butch, match scrapped. Sheamus, unconscious referee stoppage. Now, again, a podcast, a Twitter post, a blog, a rant. That sounds right. Oh, look, Sheamus complained about the use of the Brawling Brutes, and here's what we got on SmackDown. All three got buried. Butch's match got scrapped. Ridge Holland is trying to fight for his life. He can't breathe. And Sheamus is knocked out cold, referee stoppage. I don't look at it that way. I look at it that the Bloodline, Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa, might be feuding with Ridge Holland and Sheamus in the very near future. Samoan Spike to Ridge Holland, there's a little feud there. Roman Reigns, Sheamus, that's one of the championship matches that we all were wanting to see. Sheamus has been killing it for years now since he came back from the spinal stenosis stuff. His stuff with Jeff Hardy was great. His stuff with Drew McIntyre was awesome. Everything, even some of the stuff that he was doing, you know, with others. I mean, you can't complain anything about Sheamus. Yeah, he's not going to dethrone Roman Reigns, but he definitely deserves a nice main event storyline push. I saw yesterday as the build to the Brawling Brutes feuding with the Bloodline. Not this negative Vince McMahon is sticking it to them because Sheamus complained. But yesterday what we did get, Solo Sikoa, Sheamus brawling. Sheamus hits the 10 punches to Solo. Solo looked like he was really hurting with it. I mean, he stopped at 10. You look at Solo's selling it great, but Solo would look like it hurt for him. But Sheamus was selling a little bit with the back. He set up for the Celtic Cross. His back gave out. Solo Sikoa landed a Samoan Spike onto Sheamus. Sheamus bounces outside the ring. Solo goes to the floor, hits a Uranagi, putting Sheamus through the announcer's table. And then, well, I don't think the table collapsed, but he nailed him onto the table. Looked good. Then Solo Sikoa placed Sheamus against the barricade, right by the timekeeper's area, as you can see the picture. And then charged, hit him with the hip attack. Knocks. If you look at it, I mean, I didn't get the video clip of it, but it looked like he kind of missed most of it, but still went through the barricade. Crowd is chanting, holy shit. Paul Heyman, do not be misconstrued. Paul Heyman is not reading the Riot Act as Solo Sikoa. I know that picture looks like Paul Heyman is pissed off. No, Paul Heyman was enjoying what was going on, but Paul Heyman at the same time is like, you see what you did? You're kind of like waking up to sleeping giant. But then before anything else could happen, we get the Usos music. So, as Solo Sikoa is standing over Sheamus and the referee calls for the stoppage, the Usos come out, and you got to go back and you watch it. You'll get a kick out of it. It's cute. Solo Sikoa is outside the ring. The Usos' music hits. Solo Sikoa is looking down the rampway. He sees the Usos. Solo Sikoa has a set of balls, so Solo Sikoa goes into the ring. He's ready to fight. Look at Paul Heyman's face as Solo is entering the ring. Paul Heyman had this evil smile on his face like there was a setup, but immediately the Usos double super kicked Solo Sikoa, knocked his ass out. And then Paul Heyman's evil smile turned into disdain and despair. And the Usos are looking at Paul Heyman. kind of teasing, like they may do something to Paul Heyman, and Paul Heyman's like begging outside the ring. No. I'm just an advisor, just whatever, just the tribal chief. So he starts backing off, and then Solo Sikoa gets up again, and the Usos lay him out once again. And that's how he went off the air. So, you know, it was an okay SmackDown. I think this definitely planted the seeds of some shifts in the future. Now, if Sheamus wants to go after Roman Reigns, okay, it's fine. This is how you plant the seed. You know, Ridge Holland wants to go up against Solo Sikoa. Yeah, plants the seed. So I know people on the surface, see, that's why I think if they would have taken a step back and not complained so much about Vince changing stuff yesterday, I think they would have saw between and say, oh, okay, I see this is why this happened. A lot of people yesterday were like, what was the purpose of that Lacey Evans Charlotte match? Yeah, the purpose was they wanted to get Charlotte in the ring so Asuka could attack her leading into the match next week. You know, the way it's played out sometimes is under question, but that's the reason why some of the things were chained up. I didn't think it was all that bad. So now, next week, Roman Reigns will be returning, and that's absolutely necessary because the day after is Money in the Bank. Also next week, Grayson Waller will have Logan Paul on. And this has the potential of being an absolute train wreck. I think this definitely could be an absolute train wreck. Especially when Logan Paul, because this is in London, everyone. Remember, next week's SmackDown is in London. But, you know, I just realized something. We got a time difference in London. So this is not going to be live. I just realized that because Money in the Bank, yes, we're going to have the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships on the line as well. And Asuka will be defending the Women's Championship against Charlotte Flair. So the fact that Money in the Bank airs 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday tells me that SmackDown is going to be taped earlier in the day. Has to be. Cannot air live. I just realized that. So we'll probably have spoilers of SmackDown a few hours earlier. I definitely do not believe Charlotte Flair. Listen, a lot of people think a 7th person should be added to the Money in the Bank women's side because they added Logan Paul on the men's side. That is still possible. Look, they could still have Shotzi versus Bayley next Friday, which still would not make sense because you don't want them wrestling the night before. You want to do a pull apart, that's fine. We may end up, who knows? Because look, here, you could bring this up. On Monday's Raw, we have a women's summit for the Money in the Bank ladder match. Zelina Vega, who apparently has a ladder for an outfit. Yeah, people don't see what I'm talking about. Becky Lynch, Bayley, Io Sky, Zoe Stark, and Trish Stratus still all be on Raw. And yes, we are all hoping that we get this. Remember this Money in the Bank Summit? So maybe we get something like that. Was a good one, man. I mean, look at everybody in the match. I mean, overall, how could you complain? And I don't think you complain at all. That was fun, man. That was fun. So also Monday, Seth Rollins will address his injury. Probably have another confrontation with Finn Balor because this will be the last Raw before Money in the Bank. And Dominic Mysterio will confront Cody Rhodes. We'll probably see a little confrontation there. What did I want to show you? I wanted to show you something else. I don't recall. Oh, if you're in the Georgia area and you're going to Raw Monday, something that's not talked about enough, Cody Rhodes is making 6 digits in merchandise revenue. You have no idea how much money Cody Rhodes is making in merch right now. Every house show that he's at, they are selling autographed belts. They are selling custom shirts, autographed photos. Cody is signing hundreds of things every other week. And now what WWE is doing is this. Here, let me put a little bit of a better picture. They're doing this. If you go to Raw on Monday, you could buy this custom red Cody Rhodes shirt that says Georgia's Own. You could buy that at Raw, only at Raw. They made a limited supply only for Raw. If you want to buy one and you can't attend Raw, for a very limited time, you could buy the black shirt, T-shirt, that says Georgia's Own. Every house show, every Raw that Cody Rhodes is appearing, they are doing these custom items that are only available for the crowd. Now, yes, WWE has them also for the whole Raw roster, and it'll say, you know, New York, you know, whatever. That's fine, because those shirts, you could visit the same state a couple of times, and unless you start doing, you know, like drafts, but then again, they just put the whole roster on the shirt. They could sell that as many times as they want. With Cody Rhodes, though, they are doing these individual things. And like I said, he's signing off. If you notice, sometimes on Raw, they will show video of Cody Rhodes in the back, signing belts, signing belts, signing belts. And there's not many others that they're doing that with. They did it with Rey Mysterio for a little while. Remember the segment with LA Knight when Rey was in the back signing photos and LA Knight's like, if you're not going to beat up your son, I will. And then Rey laid him out. That's actually what they were doing for upcoming house shows when they were in San Diego and other places. Cody Rhodes is making a killing right now on merchandise. It's insane how much money he's making. All right. Very quickly, for those that may want to know, NXT Level Up yesterday, Luca Crucifino over Tavlin Heights, Channing Stacks Lorenzo over Kel Dixon, and JC Jane over Eily Nile. On the Rampage side, yeah, this was kind of a hot mess yesterday, the Rampage. The Acclaimed and Billy Gunn beat Cota Hernandez, Darius Luttrell, and Alex Rico Suave. The United Empire and Swerve Strickland over Chaos and Yo, little brother. Sky Blue over Anna Jay to advance in the Owen Hart Foundation Tournament. And Jungle Boy over Doki. Okie Doki, that's how I like to call him. Okie Doki. Johnny Nitro, Johnny Impact, Johnny Elite, Johnny Morrison made his appearance yesterday. I think he attacked the Acclaimed. So, yeah, I heard that Rampage was not very good yesterday. With all due respect, I mean, Okie Doki. Like, I was watching, like, clips of it. And the best part of last night's Rampage, and look, I'm not starting to shit on AEW. I mean, there's a lot that I do like. But this is probably the most annoying thing about AEW. You had Tom Lawler come out and attack Adam Cole. You have Doki and Jungle Boy. You have people that come out that, honestly, about 95% of the American audience tuning in live has no connection with these guys at all. And the announcers make it sound like epic, amazing, unbelievable. You know, AEW portrays it as epic, amazing, unbelievable. But most of us were like, all right, yeah, okay. Yeah. If you look at the crowd reaction when Tom Lawler is beating up Adam Cole, there's like virtually none. When you look after, especially look at the stare down with Jungle Boy, I forget who's he facing on Sunday. Hold on, I got it right here. Jungle Boy is taking on, where is it? Oh, here it is. He's taking on Sonata. And Sonata with the shades, he lifts the title up. And I'm looking at the crowd, and the crowd is like this. No reaction at all. So, no reaction at all. Okay. Want to give a super shout out, and then we'll talk about CM Punk. Unbelievable. The Ghost from the Coast with a 20 spot. He says he is sending love from the JCS community, Joe Cronin Show. I know what JCS stands for. Joe Cronin, very happy for him. You know, I see his videos from afar. I miss a lot of his social media footprint. I know he still posts a little bit here and there, but I definitely want to bring him on for another episode, have another conversation. I don't think it needs to be Forbidden Door, because it's not something that would have been perceived as forbidden. But definitely send my, you know, my love and shout outs to Joe Cronin. Joe Cronin works his ass off, and he talks a hell of a lot more than just wrestling. I saw a couple little of his clips about the Titan, that submersible that imploded. Jesus. We talked about it a little bit on Patreon, but I watched that yesterday. And there's a video on Twitter floating around. If you don't know what an implosion looks like with, you know, steel, they show like a train imploding. Like they show nothing gory, nothing with humans inside. But, you know, when you understand that it's almost like a bad cartoon where like Wile E. Coyote gets like crushed in an anvil and it's just like a pancake. That's pretty much what happened to them. I mean, just imploded like a pancake. So it's horrible, but I don't want to start talking about it now because I have a lot of things to talk about. If you want to see something outrageous, which I'm surprised didn't catch a lot of trend, go look up Blink 182. Has nothing to do with the band, but just look up Blink 182 and this Titan tragedy and read the story that you see. So thank you for that, and shout out to Joe Cronin once again. So right now for Forbidden Door, we have 11 matches announced. We got into the matches on Wednesday Night Dynamite, so there's no reason for me to bring them up here again. Tonight on Collision, in fact, here's a little preview for tonight's Collision. And, oh, this I got to get off my chest. I love when people see a post that I write on social media but don't follow my shows. I posted a poll 2 days ago on social media that got no traction whatsoever. Because if you read it and you don't follow the shows, you would have interpreted the poll as a shot against AEW Collision and negative. And the poll was not negative whatsoever. I got a half a dozen DMs pretty much cursing me out, calling me a moron, a AEW hater, and this and that. Collision is not the Dynamite 2.0. Like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. They didn't tune into the shows. I said it a week ago, and I said it on Wednesday Night Dynamite, that AEW Collision has already morphed into AEW Dynamite 2.0, and that's not a bad thing. Because they don't follow the shows, they thought the poll was negative. And what I put online was, after just one episode, vote. AEW Collision is already morphed into AEW Dynamite 2.0 or AEW Rampage Redo. 53.5% of you voted that AEW Collision has turned into AEW Dynamite 2.0. Yeah, I believe it. Absolutely. Check out this preview for Collision that's going to air tonight. Check out the preview. As I'm reading this, I want you to close your eyes and pretend that I'm previewing next Wednesday's Dynamite. Okay? Next Wednesday on AEW Dynamite, Christian Cage will address the TNT Championship. Next Wednesday on Dynamite, Sting and Darby Allin will reveal their mystery partner for Finn Balor. Again, we know it's not next Wednesday. Pretend I'm advertising the next Dynamite. Christian Cage addresses the TNT Championship. Sting and Darby Allin reveal their mystery partner for Forbidden Door. Powerhouse Hobbs will be in action. Brody King versus Andrade El Idolo. The Owen Hart Women's Tournament match continues with Willow Nightingale taking on Nyla Rose. Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Swerve Strickland. And the main event, CM Punk, FTR, and Ricky Starks versus Jay White, Juice Robinson, and the Guns. Oh, and Miro de Redima will speak. the Redeemer has something. That doesn't sound like a fucking Dynamite to you? There's nothing about that that makes you feel that, no, Collision is a totally different show. They got different people on there. You do realize how many people that are on this show are also going to be on Rampage, also going to be on. The reason why a lot of the journalists and the podcasters don't talk about this stuff, because for 6 months they tried to convince you that there was going to be this hard split, that pro CM Punk wrestlers are going to be segregated to Saturdays only, and anti-CM Punks will be on Wednesday. No interaction. And for 6 months, they said, bullshit. And it was bullshit. This is AEW Dynamite, Saturday Night Dynamite. That's what this is. And for the 10th time, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You don't have to drastically reinvent things if you have a template that is pretty popular. Dynamite gets 800,000 to 900,000 on average. If you get close to that, even if it's 100,000 to 150,000 less on a Saturday, that's still successful. For some reason, well, I know why, but when I put the poll up, why are you ripping them? Collision is awesome. The first episode, why are you putting it down? They didn't understand. I wasn't putting it down. It's turned into Dynamite 2.0. So I had to get that off my chest because I put up the poll. Almost nobody liked it because they didn't want to go on record. Because you could click the like link and see who liked your shit. So nobody wants to be on record to say that Collision turned into Dynamite 2.0 or Rampage Redo. Because they got to be part of the cake and ice cream crew. They can't be on record criticized. And it wasn't even a criticism. But they read the poll. Oh, he's ripping AEW Collision already. No. No, no, I've said that this is a good thing. So, all right. Speaking of Dynamite, it did 902 this past Wednesday, up from the previous week's 832. Not bad at all. Not bad at all. But we got to finish talking about some ridiculously stupid stuff. Before we say the CM Punk stuff, Tony Khan did a Forbidden Door media call, press conference. And I read it. A couple of quick noteworthy things from it. Somebody brought up how CM Punk, Chris Jericho, and Brian Danielson are involved in creative. Are there any women involved on the women's creative side? And I found something interesting that Tony Khan said. Tony Khan said that Sarah Stock is involved. And so is Madison Rayne, but Madison Rayne is sidelined from the ring due to injury. And he says that he listens to the top women in the division to get their ideas and who they want to work with. But he has the final say at the end of the day. It sounds like nobody's heading up the women's creative side on the women's side. Unless Madison Rayne is forced to be away from AEW because of the injury, I could break my fucking leg right now and I still got to go to my office. You know, like, okay, she's injured. What does that have to do with creative? We're not saying, are they wrestling them? We're asking, are they part of creative? Well, she's injured. The fuck does that mean? Does she have home-itis that she's got to be at home? Is she allowed to be there? So he was very, very vague and, you know, they let it go. Just wanted to point that out. Goldberg was brought up again. He's had conversations with Goldberg, has praise for Goldberg. At the end of the day, I still believe Goldberg will have his final match in WWE and it might be the next Saudi Arabia show. I just can't see Goldberg, especially with his son, especially with his legacy, especially with merchandise, especially with, you know, just celebration over the years. Like, you know, like I love the celebration of Owen Hart. Don't get me wrong. I love that some people who only heard about him, they never got to see him appear live, and he was tragically taken away from us 20 plus years ago. You know, it's awful. So any celebration is better than no celebration. What's sad about it is that whenever they show footage in AEW of Owen Hart, it's back when his hair was almost like, you know, like 70s era. Like, you have to see him before he even became a star. You have to see, like, when he was in his early years, because they're not allowed to use any, you know, WWF or WWE footage. Even, you know, elsewhere. With Goldberg, like, if Goldberg has a retirement match, it's a one-off payday. Even if they, even if AEW or Pro Wrestling Tees came up with a Goldberg shirt, it's like Goldberg knows that after that one-off, like, there's not going to be no highlight films. What are we going to see, Goldberg wrestling when he had hair? Like, you're not going to have any highlight films of Goldberg, really. What do you have? You're going to show an appearance in Japan? I mean, that's all the footage you're going to have. I do not believe for 1 minute that Goldberg is going to have his last match in AEW. WWE will swoon in, and Goldberg knows that 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, and I know WWE wouldn't hold the AEW grudge against him forever, but nah. Take a step back. Think about what I'm saying. I don't think anybody would disagree with me, to be honest with you. And speaking of shooting stuff down, I got to give Tony Khan props for this. Do you saw the reports that Tony Khan and Nick Khan, Tony Khan and Shad Khan were considering buying Bellator? And Tony Khan says, I don't know what you're talking about. I never heard those rumors. I don't know what you're talking about. Props to Tony Khan for just going right out there and saying that. Because something that's happening right now before our very eyes, if you haven't realized it yet, something that's happening amongst hardcore AEW supporters. They want the perception that AEW is on the level of WWE. Not just wrestling-wise, not just creative, not just attendances, but just perception. So when you hear about the buying WWE, oh, AEW is interested in buying WWE, which was laughable. It's not a shot on AEW. It's not a shot on the cons. They weren't buying WWE. But people had to put that out there, because they wanted to make it seem like Tony Khan and Shad Khan, if they wanted to, that they have the resources and the wherewithal, they could buy WWE, which is bullshit. That's ridiculous. Bellator, to give the idea that the big almighty Bellator could be bought by AEW because UFC and WWE merged. That's why that came out. UFC and WWE merged. Oh, Bellator and AEW will merge. They got to put them on the same level. But the cute one that's happening now is this, if you haven't noticed it. A wrestler that WWE has no interest in, but WWE is not going to say it publicly. With all due respect to Jay White, this is the facts, whether people like it or not. Individual wrestlers within WWE, from AJ Styles to Finn Balor down the line, would have loved to have had Jay White in the company. They know that they would have had some spectacular matches. For WWE management creative, they had virtually no interest in Jay White. But you're not going to see Nick Khan and Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard and, you know, Buck O'Neill, you know, Bucktooth Beaver. Can't call him that anymore, but the former Bucktooth. You're not going to have them go on social media and make a statement and say, we have no interest in signing Jay White. No, they just don't say nothing. But when Jay White signs with AEW, what they'll do is about a week before, 2 weeks before, they'll put out a report that says that WWE is very, very, very interested in Jay White. And Jay White is the hottest free agent right now, and AEW is interested, and WWE is interested, and where will he go? Meanwhile, they know that Jay White is already signing with AEW, because they want the perception that at the end of the day, Jay White chose AEW over WWE. They do that over and over and over. Commander, whatever. Yeah, like, I'm just using names. You notice in the last 4 months, Every wrestler that AEW has signed, there was reports a week or two earlier that WWE has expressed heavy interest in this person, and it's 9 times out of 10 not true. The latest one was Hook. That WWE is extremely interested in Hook, and Taz wants Hook to go to WWE. Do you think in your right mind, Taz, who is a comfortably paid professional employee of AEW, is going to tell anybody, yeah, I want my son to go to WWE. Oh, my son, no, no. As soon as his contract, I want my son in WWE. Wouldn't do that. It's stupid. It's unprofessional. And then on top of it, you know that Hook probably already signed a deal with AEW or is about to. And then we'll look back on it like, you know what? WWE had a lot of interest in Hook, but Hook chose AEW instead. That is what you are seeing over and over and over and over again now. So be on the lookout. When you see so-and-so is very, very extremely interested in WWE, WWE's interested in, if you see in that same report that AEW is also interested, you know what the outcome is going to be. Now, I'm going to segue this to CM Punk because Tony Khan was asked about the Elite and CM Punk being on the same card for Forbidden Door. Tony Khan brushed it off. It's exciting to having so many top stars on the show. He feels like it's an all-star lineup. He's very happy to see CM Punk back in AEW, and it's a great representation to have the Elite as well. Did not answer the question. Good for CM for Tony Khan for not answering that question. But it's something that you and I addressed about 6 months ago. What do you got, separate hotel rooms? Yeah, probably. Because at the end of the day, I know this upsets people, but at the end of the day, you have a group of people within AEW are like immature children that will not, you know, think that by not confronting someone, by not speaking, that they have the upper advantage. They don't want to mend things out. They have to, they don't have the balls to write the shit out on social media. You know, they'll do it a little bit in a mocking in a match. They'll tease it on being the Elite because, oh, it's little, you know, innuendo inside shots and this and that. But when it comes to saying negative, nasty shit, they go to the journalists. So something happened in the last 24 hours that led to a tweet by Dax Harwood, which he deleted, and an Instagram post from CM Punk, which is fucking hilarious, and I got them both for you. The fact is, whether people like it or not, and this is something I've said for a couple of years now, the Elite, and when I say the Elite, I don't just mean the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and Hangman Page. You have a lot of people that work behind the scenes, from Colt Cabana to Michael Nakazawa to Brandon Cutler to a lot of others that work in the offices. AEW cannot operate for long term without those guys there. Those guys were working remotely when these suspensions went down. Tony Khan is too dependent on them. Tony Khan, instead of hiring outside people to work in those areas and have them more in an agent role or, you know, in the creative side, they are working integral parts of AEW behind the scenes. Take note how nobody ever replaced Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes going out, being an ambassador, going to other places, negotiating stuff. Did anybody ever replace him? No, it was a joint effort because Tony Khan has his favorite wrestlers running the ship. That's what it comes down to. So when you have, when you hire extremely fragile snowflake 2023, look, for 20 years, I've been saying the pussification of America. I'm not getting political here, but for 20 years, you had all this stuff going on in the world. Everybody's got to have a trophy. Everybody gets a prize. Everybody gets this. Look at AEW. Everybody has to have a belt. Everybody has to have this. Everybody's got to have this. Everybody's got, I mean, that's a little exaggerated, but you see where it goes. For 20 years that people needed, people in college needed coloring chalk so they could go in a corner and color because Trump became president or something. Like, you have, for 20 years, this coddling, this extreme coddling that everybody has to get a trophy, everybody has to be, everybody's got to be, you, nobody is, can fall and take a hard fall and get themselves up, unless you're rich, unless you're white, unless you're this, and whatever you want to put in there, unless you're an executive, unless you're in Hollywood, like, it's okay for them to fall. Everybody else, you got to have a nice warm pillow to catch your fall. Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And these guys now in their 20s and 30s, 20 years ago, were either embryos, toddlers, or preteens. So this is just an example of what a lot of... Listen, you look at Karens. Karens is the most acceptable because Karens are white for the most part. And I'm not getting into a racial thing. My point is that it's on all sides. Believe me, my neighborhood here, there's a lot of rich people or well-off people or even, you know, upper middle class that whine about every fucking little thing. Why? Is the roast beef rare? I go to my father's store. I wait for a coffee. I had a woman a week ago, is the roast beef rare? And they showed it to her, and it was like nice pink. Nice and pink, we'll just say it like that. And she looks at it, no, that's not rare enough. Could you start another one? And this guy that works in my dad's store is like, and you know what? One of the guys that works at my dad's store is a podcaster, wrestling show. I don't want to out his name. Some of you know who he is, but he actually podcasts wrestling. And he works the indies too. He was there and he's listening to this and I'm looking at him and he's got a grin on his face. And the guy that's serving this woman says, you know, I don't have anything else. Could you start another one? And the guy says, yeah, but if I start a new roast beef, you know, for those that don't know, when you cook a whole roast beef, the ends are well done and the middle is where the rare is. So he says, if I start another roast beef, it's going to be even more well done. So she says, well, could you cut it in half? And the guy says, well, if I cut it in half, then I have two pieces of roast beef. I'm going to have two ends. And she just went on and on and on and on and on. That it just, over stupid little things. So my point is that the Young Bucks, Hangman Page and others, they are extremely talented. I enjoy their work in the ring. But outside of the ring, they are the fragile of the fragile. I truly, looking back on it, think now that Hangman Page drinking beers and doing this and riding down the streets at 3 o'clock in the morning with a horse and this and that, I think it's all to boost up, you know, the manliness, like the strength and the power. And I think outside he drinks chocolate milk with a sippy cup. I'm just being honest with you. So CM Punk... And I'm, again, I'm not the biggest fan of CM Punk. I'm still blocked by the guy. I spent my years criticizing him, but he is one of the only people that'll say, fuck it, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. No, I'm not keeping quiet. I'm not going to give in to them. So what happens is Dave Meltzer puts out a report, and Dave Meltzer says, this is what he says about Wednesday. The ratings were good. And attendance was very good this week. But one top name told us that they went home after the show on Wednesday in a bad mood. And even the key people kept apart described the fear of this situation with CM Punk being a ticking time bomb that will not have a happy ending. That was what was said Wednesday. For well over a year, I have been telling you what has been happening with CM Punk. You have people within that company. They don't give a fuck. It's not their company. As long as they're getting paid, as long as they got power, this happened in WCW with Hogan and others who had power and creative control and doing the book and Kevin Nash. I mean, I love Kevin Nash. I mean, I don't agree with a lot of his political stuff, but, you know, this happened in WCW. You know, this happens in the Hogan era, in WWF. People have power. And when they have power, a lot of times they abuse the power. It goes to their head. So these people run to the journalist and said, I went home in a bad mood. Honestly, even if my wife was 1,000 miles away visiting relatives, I would be fucking embarrassed if I told someone, you know, I didn't go to the party. I'm just in a bad mood. You know, Lisa was there. John was there. It was just in a bad mood. My wife would be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? How old are you? I married a pussy? I married a wimp? What the fuck is wrong with you? I didn't go because I'm in a bad... How do you even, like, with a clear head... If I'm Dave Meltzer, I don't care if it's Moxley, I don't care if it's Guevara, I don't care whoever it is. I don't know who told... If I'm Dave Meltzer and a grown man said to me about Wednesday, yeah, I'm not going to lie to you, I went home in a bad mood, I would have been like, huh? What happened? Yeah, I just went home in a bad mood. Go eat ice cream. Go consider a little bit of testosterone therapy. This is the world we live in. Imagine in the 80s. Imagine wrestlers in the 80s when Hogan had the stranglehold in the WWF or the Ultimate Warrior on top of someone else. They had wrestlers that didn't like those guys. But they wanted to make money. They wanted to better their careers. And they wanted to show what they could do and get an opportunity. I don't recall any of them running to Bill Apter. You know, WrestleMania 3 was hot, but I went home in a bad mood. I mean, let that sink in. Imagine WCW, 83 weeks. The NWO is everywhere. And the vanilla midgets are just bypassed and, you know, just whatever. And imagine somebody going to, any dirt sheet or the magazine, this is awesome and I'm making money and we're killing WWF, but, Nash, he's writing and I went home in a bad mood. People would have laughed you out of the fucking wrestling business. I mean, how... this even gets put on. Dave Meltzer's got to understand. He's not stupid. And I'm a supporter of his. He's got to understand. Whoever this person is, that doesn't help their cause. He's not helping AEW. They created such a divide for last year. I honestly think that these people are trying to get CM Punk to snap again. And get him out of the fucking company. Like when they say, oh, CM Punk's trying to get the Elite out of the company. You think CM Punk wants to work in the... Somebody asked in a conference call to Tony Khan, does CM Punk have any ownership in AEW? And they said no. CM Punk doesn't. You think CM Punk wants to work in the office? You think CM Punk has got his wife? He's got his livelihood? He's got his home? He wants to make the most money, succeed, have a run that means something, and that's it. There's two different objectives here. So, after Dave Meltzer puts that out, Dax Harwood posts this tweet, which, as you see, it was deleted. Dax says, and I quote, "This one will get some heat, but fuck it, it needs to be said. Whatever top star left the show in a bad mood because of a certain individual was there, instead of running to Dave, why not just tell the individual face to face? That's how we used to do things back in the day." That tweet was quickly deleted. And Dave Meltzer, before the tweet was deleted, Dave Meltzer's response was, look what happened the last time that somebody took that advice. So basically, Dax is saying, you have a problem? Confront the person face to face. Dave Meltzer is, well, look what happened the last time. The reason why Dave totally failed in that is because if you're not happy with someone, that doesn't instantly equate to punches in the face, biting, knocking doors down. Imagine you use Dave Meltzer's mentality. That means whoever went home in a bad mood on Wednesday, if they would have complained to CM Punk that doors would have been knocked down, punches would have been thrown, you can't complain. You have no longer have the balls. That it's better to tell a reporter and have the reporter post it than for the person to talk to the other person. That's what we're living in, everyone. This is why the situation in AEW is a time bomb. It is a time bomb. I absolutely agree. But it's not the time bomb that you think, because understand, a year later, the Young Bucks have not resolved this situation. Hangman Page has not resolved this situation. They went to their lawyers. Again, they can't do anything themselves. They either go to journalists or they go to the lawyers. CM Punk, look, I want to squash things. I want, for the betterment of AEW, I want to talk. Let's have a conversation. And their lawyers tell CM Punk's lawyers, do not contact them. As if it's a bitter divorce, as like an order of protection. They have not resolved anything. So if you don't resolve anything, how does the situation get better? Now, one last thing I do want to say. After this exchange with Dax and CM Punk, oh, and by the way, in response to the time bomb, and I'm sorry if the audio's choppy, it's the only way I could do it without getting a strike. CM Punk, in response to Dave Meltzer talking about a time bomb, went on Instagram and posted this. Black coat, white shoes, black hat, Cadillac, yeah. Was a time bomb. Black coat, white shoes, black hat. The boys a time bomb. Back in the hole. He posted him wearing a robe, a bathrobe, playing Rancid's song Time Bomb, basically mocking him. I thought that was fucking hilarious. Listen, at the end of the day, two things I got to tell you. Number one, it's sad to say it, but I personally think I'm very proud that we confronted this since the night of the media scrum. No one else has been more correct. Others have been correct. But again, you know, you see some of your favorites out there and they'll trash Meltzer, but they won't trash Wade Keller. They'll trash disc journals, but they won't touch Nick Houseman for the instigation. The, you know, everybody likes to, you know, pick and choose their rage. But, you know, there's a meltdown going on right now. There is a meltdown because CM Punk, and here's the thing too, you got to understand, and this is not a pro CM Punk thing, this is just a fact. Imagine if the Young Bucks and Hangman Page, Kenny Omega, Nakazawa and others, Cutler, have to live in front of the back of an arena, in a hotel lobby, in a restaurant, in a coffee shop, on the street, get into a verbal back and forth with CM Punk. There is no producers for being the elite and spending weeks thinking of scripts of what we could say and how could we do this and how could we spoof this. Instantaneous. Instantaneous having a confrontation, they know CM Punk will eat them alive. Because CM Punk, me, he's the last person I want to get into a promo war with. John Cena, you know, in wrestling, even if you're feuding with him, you got to be really careful going back and forth in the ring because he will eat you up and spit you out. There are some people you got to be so careful. So everything has got to be produced. Insults have to be choreographed. Insults have to be produced. They have to be written in advance. They can't be spur in a moment because they know that this guy will eat them alive. So one last thing about this. After this couple of days with the time bomb stuff, something interesting is starting to develop. There is a decent amount of people online that is starting to believe that this is all work. Dave's in on it. CM Punk's in on it. The Young Bucks, Kenny Omega. Like this is all storyline. Poking the bear, and this is all storyline. This is just one bit, and this is what I wrote a year ago. Journalistic kayfabe. Look at the newsletters in the background. Why report the actual story when you could be part of the story? I posted that a year ago, and it's fascinating now to see a lot of people starting to think this is all a storyline. It is not a storyline. They wanted to believe it's a storyline because they can't believe that some of their favorite wrestlers might be the snowiest of the snowflakes. I mean, the fragile of the fragile. They're like eggs. They're like eggs. If you drop them, that's it. That egg splatters everywhere. You know, and when they do manly things, it's got to be choreographed, rehearsed, this and that. You know, oh my God, let me zoom in slow-mo and show After Effects and do BTE videos of me taking off my shoe and stepping on a bunch of thumbtacks because shows how hardcore I am and how much I care about AEW. No, it was stupid. It was stupid. You know, look at Wednesday. Wednesday, they did 902,000 viewers. I don't have it in front of me. We'll talk about it Monday. Do you know what the most viewed segment of AEW Dynamite was? The highest rating of the whole night? We had the conversation Wednesday, and we ended up being right. It was the concession brawl. Because every week, you can't just have straight up. It's always got to be the Cracker Jack surprise. You know, it's almost like you can't just have a regular match. There's got to be no DQ, false count anywhere, concession brawl, cage match, blood and gun. Like there's always got to be, before the bell starts, everybody brawls on the rampway. You know, there's always got to be chaos. Chaos, car accidents. Look on Twitter. I'll leave you with this as I go off the air. Look on Twitter. It happens on my feed. I'm sure it happens on your feed. Me, I don't have the selection where I only see the feed of my followers. I just have the one that says new. I keep getting recommended videos to watch, and it's basically people just brawling in the street. Guy confronts other guy. Something happens in the gas station, a car accident, somebody gets run over, a shooting, an altercation with a cop and someone else. You know, the person's, you know, having a high-speed chase. Like, everything is like a clusterfuck accident. But if you notice, they're by far the most viewed items. You'll see, you know what's funny? The next time you see something like that, and you see people that'll say, why is this on my timeline? This is disgusting. Get this off my feed. Click on some of their profiles because you will see them post about 40 times. Why is this on my feed? Why is this on my profile? They're writing it to come across how disturbed they are about it. Animal abuse. That guy in the UK, I can't remember his name, that's going around and breaking into people's houses while they're home and pulling off yarmulkes off of Jewish people and running down the street. Somebody, elderly person, walking their dog, he picks up the dog and runs away, and he keeps getting let off. I mean, people can't stop looking at them. So they'll give the perception that they're extremely offended, but they keep watching and keep watching and keep watching and keep watching. So that's the deal with AEW. It's chaos. It's chaos. And this is the ultimate chaos. Unfortunately, this is real. They could try to turn it into a storyline, but this is embedded within people's minds, thoughts, their hearts, their souls. This is what they are. That's why online, when you see the reception by some people, they got to coddle these people. They got to make everything sound epic, amazing, unbelievable, perfect. Everything is just, you know, oh my God, Swerve Strickland, no. Could he be teasing MJ? I mean, I love Swerve Strickland. and you think he's going to be heavyweight champion in his AEW career, please pass along whatever I'm smoking. You think this guy's going to be the focal point, you could see it a mile away that he's put in high-profile positions, but 9 times out of 10, it doesn't go anywhere. You see that with Wardlow. You see that with others. So chaos, 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 chaos. That's what AEW is built on. Now the chaos happens behind the scenes, and the only way people can accept it or try to live with it is try to pretend that, oh, maybe this is all a storyline. Oh, maybe it's just a bad dream, and it's not. So I'm out of here. So for all of you out there who are going to watch Forbidden Door live on Sunday night, have an awesome time. Enjoy it. I will watch Forbidden Door over the next bunch of days, and I will give you my overall thoughts of it next week. For those that are not watching Forbidden Door Sunday night, you're welcome to join me and the family right here live on YouTube Sunday, 8.05 p.m. for your next edition of the sit-down. In fact, I just realized it. Is this the last Sunday of the month? Because the last Sunday of each month, we do non-wrestling stuff. So you know what we'll do? I'll advertise tomorrow or Sunday to be, yeah, tomorrow is Sunday. I'll advertise Sunday that it'll be wrestling and non-wrestling. We'll do a combination of the two. I just realized the last Sunday of the month, holy shit, half the year is done already. So join me tomorrow. If not, I'll be here Monday with your Raw recap. And then Tuesday, Kevin and I with Money in the Bank predictions. So, but believe me, I tell you, if you haven't checked out Wednesday Night Dynamite yet, this is the week to do so. The Dana Brooke stuff, I'm very, very proud of. I mean, you know, I hated saying what I was saying, but it needed to be said. And, you know, it's just this stuff going on online about her and what we talked about with the AEW stuff as well. Very, very important discussions. And plus we recap both shows. So, and then this Tuesday we have Gold Rush Night 2, which will be a lot of fun, but I want to see if Nikki Cross ends up being revealed as NXT Anonymous. So guys, if you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that thumbs up. If you know anyone out there that would like the channel, let them know about it. DonTony.com. Check out the audio versions of the shows. That is honestly the lifeline of everything. You know, the audio shows is pretty much like 85 to 90% of all of the people who tune in. So I like doing the video to get a little animated, do a little visuals. But, you know, if you saw SmackDown, there's no need to look at the pictures I posted. If you saw the Instagram of CM Punk, you know what I'm showing. You know, if there's something that I post that maybe you didn't see, then maybe you stop by and you look a little video. But always download the audio versions. That definitely keeps these shows going. So I'm out of here, guys. Much love. Catch you all again. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.